Have you ever tamed or been tamed by somebody? Have you ever tamed or been tamed? Yeah. Well, I had a camp counselor. I told you I was feeling nostalgic. I had a camp counselor who tamed me when I was 14 years old. Marty was very patient with me. She was gentle, calm, soft-spoken. She kept her distance, just as instructed by the fox, but she was always there. Close, but not too close. I didn't talk much in those days. I prefer not to talk much now, actually. So we didn't talk much. We did spend a lot of time walking on the beach and in the woods, sharing sunsets and the sound of wind whispering in the trees. And over the course of that first summer, I learned that I could count on Marty to be there for me. That winter, when I went home, I wrote to Marty every single week. Remember writing letters? And I began to open up to her in those letters, sharing what was going on in my life and how I felt about it. And she always wrote back. And I knew that if I went to the mailbox on a certain day, there would be a letter waiting there for me from my friend Martha. And she always had something to say that felt like she was really sharing a part of herself with me. She gave me that gift of trust. Through her, that I learned that I could share my most tender, vulnerable, authentic self with someone who would hold it tenderly, gently, lovingly, in trust. And it was that foundation of trust that gave me the courage to love, to share my heart with her and with others. Sociologist Brené Brown defines trust as choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of others. Sharing all of who we are and the fullness of our humanity is based on our ability to trust one another. Trust in the sense of making that choice to trust is a verb, right? It's an action word. We make choices about what we're going to share that's important to us, who we are, what we believe. But there's another kind of trust, and that's a trust that's built on taking time to actually build a foundation. It's about taking the time to tame each other, spending time, taking time to sit quietly, to be gentle, tender, kind, and patient with one another. It's the sense that there's something there then that's solid, reliable, steady. It kind of feels like the ground beneath our feet in relationship. Trusting relationships, or the ability to trust, the verb kind of trust, is based on the noun kind of building trust, the foundation that's there underneath of it all. A circle of trust, then, would be grounded in this kind of trust that makes space for people to share, heart to heart. It's the secret that the fox shares with the little prince when he says, "It's only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." We have to create those kind of spaces where we can actually let the shy little heart, the most vulnerable, tender parts of ourselves, come out and engage in relationships so that we can learn to trust, to make those choices and move out into the world. Learning to tame one another is essential when we're looking for the trust it takes to love. Parker Palmer, I'm not sure how many of you know Parker Palmer. He's an educator and a writer. He's also a Quaker, and I like a lot of the things that he has to say. The Quakers, actually I like a lot of things the Quakers have to say in general. The Quakers believe that there's a still small voice inside each one of us, kind of like that little shy, heart-centered part of us. And it's the heart of our most authentic selves. It's the spark of that great fire that connects us to all that is. It's the inner light, the wise teacher, the soul, the seed of the divine in each one of us. And Quakers spend a lot of time in silence, listening for that small voice in stillness, knowing that if they're quiet, if they're patient, steady, and steadfast, that the heart will reveal itself. And that's what they use to guide their lives, is that heart knowledge in relationship. In his book called A Hidden Wholeness, Parker Palmer says that the inner light or the soul is shy. Reminds me of the fox in The Little Prince. It needs to be coaxed out of hiding in a world where people tend to go crashing through the woods. I love the image there. He writes, in spaces ranging from congregations to classrooms, we preach and teach, assert and argue, claim and proclaim, admonish and advise, and generally behave in ways that drive everything original and wild into hiding. Under these conditions, the intellect, emotions, will, and ego may emerge, but not the soul, not that heart center. We scare that soulful thing off. Things like respectful relationships, goodwill, hope, and trust, the trust to love. Palmer goes on to say, we can build circles of trust by learning how to sit quietly in the woods with each other, waiting for the shy soul to show up. He continues, the relationships in such a group are not pushy but patient. They are not confrontational but compassionate. They're filled with expectations and demands, but with abiding faith in the reality of the inner teacher and in each person's capacity to learn from it. To sit quietly, coaxing our souls, our true selves out of hiding, I believe, is downright countercultural these days. And in that regard, we've been driven to do more and to do more faster, right? We all have our to-do lists, and we're constantly checking, you know, checking things off, and things are getting added to that. It often feels to me like being a juggler that does that plate spinning thing, you know, where you set the plate spinning on top of the long poles, and the juggler has to go back and forth across the stage, moving those sticks to keep the poles all going so the plates don't fall, right? Have you all seen that? That's kind of what it feels like to me, is that if you don't keep the plate spinning and they fall, then, you know, that's not good. But it's the frantic pace, moving from plate to plate. But I think that when we come to a place like this, and we want to be part of congregational life, one of the things that I think we're seeking, a spiritual life, is actually learning to slow down and engage with ourselves, with one another, and with life in a different way. Paying more attention to how we do things than actually what we get done. Right? Paying more attention to how we do things than what we get done. That's not really always that easy, even in congregational life. I know in ministry I struggle often with how many deadlines there are. I have every week I'm on deadline, and a lot of you probably are too in your work or even in your personal life. I am always fighting with time in my life and in my work, actually, and isn't that kind of strange considering my vocational path? So if that's true for me, I know that it's true for you, that we're always feeling like we're on deadline. And that the impulse to get things done sometimes leads us crashing through the woods, and that includes crashing into and over people, right? So we kind of get to a place where, like, oh my gosh, you know, did I just say that? Did I just do that in hindsight? I should have stopped, I should have called, I should have. And yet, I live with as many regrets as I actually do going back to those things that I knew I should have, that I've had wanted to do in the moment. Anyways, I don't like crashing through my days, and I bet you don't either. And of all the things that we do together, this sacred hour, this worship that we, when in which we gather to lift up the things that are most important to us, it is an invitation to pause at the edge of the woods and to coax what's in our hearts out of its den. When we sit quietly, watching, waiting for the heart and soul to show up, we remember who we really are and what's most important in our lives and how we want to be in the world. The next bit is a bit trickier, which is establishing the trust that's required to love, taking that risk to share what's most important and what we hold dear out of the sanctuary and into our daily lives and into our relationships with one another. So how do we do that? I don't have a lot of answers, except slowing down. I think that's a huge piece of it, is especially when we have the opportunity. We do things like in meetings, we try to light a chalice, have opening reading, do a check-in. So we are trying to, say that relationships are important here when we do those things. That there are people that we value sitting in this room with us, and we want to know what's happening with them and for them just as much as we want to get through our agenda in a meeting. That's one of the things that ways that we do some of that. And I think covenanting is another way, and that's what we're going to be talking about after the service. Covenants are the promises that we make to each other about how we want to be in relationship. You think about, most people, when they think of covenant, I think when I first learned about this, the thing that first came to mind was marriage. You know, people get married and they make promises to each other. They have a covenant. Well, those of you who have been married or actually even have been to weddings, do you actually ever really remember the promises that you make? I don't. I don't even know. I probably have them written down somewhere, but I don't remember exactly what I said. But I sure do know what the intention of that covenant was and is. And the intention of that covenant for me was and remains to be focused, to stay focused on that relationship as primary in my life. To pay attention to it, to tend it, to care for it, to hold it tenderly, gently, to coax it out, to coax that heart-centered life out of all that crashing that goes on in the course of our daily lives, to keep coming back to the promises, the kind of person I want to be with my significant other, with my wife, in our relationship and how we want to be in the world. And that is true for congregational life as well. We're going to be talking about specific language and how we want to talk about like the ways that we can be in relationship together that will facilitate this kind of foundation of trust where we're in relationship together in a way that feels like it's steady and reliable and it has integrity. You know, so we know what to expect, but we can't always know what to expect, right? We're human beings. So when we enter into these covenants, the words are important, yes, and that's what we're going to talk about. But one of the things I hope we'll keep in mind as we're doing this is what's almost more important, I won't say more important, but it's really important. And that is that the whole purpose of this covenanting business is to say we want to focus on how we're together more than on what we do together. We want to focus on being together in a way that creates a foundation of trust so that we can bring our hearts to our time together and to our work together so that we can be quiet enough with each other and patient enough with each other to coax the best of who we are, to tame each other and coax the best of who we are in our lives together out into the light and celebrate those gifts. So don't get hung up on wordsmithing. You use love to do that, right? There are things that we can say about how we want to be together that will help remind us how to do that. But remember that it's about how we want to be together. We want to be gentle. We want to be kind. We want to be tender. We want to coax the best from each other out into the light. May it be so. Blessed be.